Turn your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 4. As we're going about our year of prayer, if you found your place, go ahead and stand if you're physically able. And we'll just read two verses here. 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bear him with sorrow.' And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me.' And God granted him that which he requested." So in our passage today, we see about this man named Jabez. Now, we don't know much about Jabez, as God has not revealed to us anything more than these few verses, and one more in 1 Chronicles 2, the name of a city, and some scholars think that the city was named after this man, Jabez, and we won't know for sure until we get to heaven, but we can only assume things. But it's widely believed that Ezra wrote the books of the Chronicles under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And as I said, we've only seen Jabez and these couple verses and one more. But we see that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Why, you might ask? Again, we're not told. Maybe it's because of his prayer life, of his life dedicating to God. We see that he prayed to the God of Israel. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. Maybe he was a great warrior. Maybe he was a businessman. Maybe he was a scholar. We don't know for sure, but God has chosen to let us know about this man, Jabez, and this great prayer that he prayed. I want us to examine this prayer of Jabez, and I want us to see if there's anything from this prayer that we can apply to our lives. I'll give you a hint. We can apply it all, okay? Just a hint. But first, I want to examine this thing of prayer. Now, I know we've been going through prayer all year and building upon things, but I think it's wonderful to see each element of prayer and define what it is. And I'll define them by asking some questions. We'll look at what prayer is, why we should pray, who should we pray to, when should we pray, where should we pray, and how should we pray? And then we'll go on talking about Jabez's prayer. So first, we see, what is prayer? Now, I know we have defined prayer many times over this year, so I'll keep it real simple, okay? Prayer is defined by the Webster's 1828 as a solemn address to the supreme being. That's God. So basically, prayer is our way of communicating with God. In Isaiah 55 and verse 6, the Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." In Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." And in Philippians 4, 6, our theme verse, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And then 1 Peter 5, 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." So what I see through all these verses is that God wants a relationship with us, his special people, his people that he created. Now, what is needed, what is a very vital point in any relationship? Communication. Most importantly, two-way communication. Not just somebody barking orders to somebody, or not just somebody talking all the time. It has to be two-way. I have to speak to my wife, and my wife has to speak to me. That's how our relationship grows. And that's how our relationship grows with God. God doesn't want us to just read his Bible and have him talk to us the whole time. Now, that'd be great, because God is the supreme being, and we need all of this, but God wants that communication. He wants us to talk to him too. He wants us to come to him and say, "God, These are my worries I have. God, I'm worried about this. God, show me something. Tell me something, God, okay? Two-way communication. God wants us to listen to what His Word says, but also to talk to Him as well. All right, so there's the first question out of the way. Next question, why should we pray? Not only does God want us to communicate with Him through the reading of His Word and prayer, He also commands us to do these things. God commands us to talk to Him. He says, hey, I don't want this one-way communication. I want you to talk to me too, okay? Here in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. In Ephesians 6:18, the Bible says, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Luke 18:1, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Matthew 6:9, after this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. So, I think that explains it there, all those verses there. God wants us to pray. He commands us to pray. He says, hey, talk to me, okay? I am your God. I love you. I want you to talk to me. All right? Who should we pray to? We already defined prayer as an address to the Supreme Being. But I'll liken this point to how we should address God. Now, we could say, dear Supreme Being. He is a Supreme Being. That would work. Dear God. Dear Lord. Okay, these all work. Or we can just take off the dear and say, hey, Supreme Being, God, or Lord. But as we've seen in instances throughout the Scriptures, and this is what I like to, this is how I address God. I address Him as my Heavenly Father. Because I am His child. Ever since I trusted Christ, I love how Brother Ron went over the pure simplicity of salvation. I believed in Christ, and I am a child of God now. God is my Heavenly Father. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that, okay? You address God in whatever way, as long as you're giving Him honor and glory and respect, okay? But I'm just saying I like to address Him as my Heavenly Father. That is a way to come to God in prayer. A couple of examples more in the Scriptures. Matthew 6:9, we went through again. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven. John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in heaven, let's start over. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. Jesus says, He's all of our Father. If we're saved, God is our Father. Truly, any way that we address the Supreme Being, God Almighty, by making Him just that in our humbleness, is a good way to address God. As long as we are coming to Him and humbling ourselves before Him, that is a good way to address Him. Not, hey old man, how you doing? Just wanted to check on you today. That's not humbling yourself before God. That's humbling God to you. So, Supreme Being, God, Lord, Heavenly Father, hey, just know God sees your heart. Okay? God sees your heart. If you pray with the heart that He's a Supreme Being, the Alpha and Omega, God Almighty, He sees it, okay? He sees your heart. We have to bow our hearts down to Him. All right, on to the next one. When should we pray? This one's easy. Continually. We should be in a constant state of communication with God. Now, I'm not saying we should be on our knees the whole entire time, okay? We've talked about this before. God doesn't expect us to just be on our knees before Him, okay? He expects us to work. He expects us to do things, to do the work of the ministry, to win souls, okay? But we should always be ready to communicate with God, okay? There again in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. There again in Ephesians 6, praying always with all prayer. Luke 6:12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Could you imagine praying all night? I try to pray all night sometimes when I fall asleep. I'm weak. Okay. I go to bed and I try to pray and the next thing you know I'm sleeping. Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and they there prayed. This lately is where I've been getting my prayers done. Because I wake up in the morning a while before the day, at 3 o'clock in the morning, okay? So I go and I get my Bible, I listen to my Bible, and then I pray on the way to work at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I can be with that one. But praying always. Always being ready to communicate with God. You know, we drive by so many things, like maybe we see first responders. We can pray for those first responders. We can pray for the people that they're going to assist. When we see things happening in the world, we can pray. We can pray for our leaders. We can pray. God has opened up the veil. He is no longer limited. We can pray to our Heavenly Father. Next one. Where should we pray? This is another easy answer. Everywhere. In our prayer closet, our alone time with God, with our families, at church, everywhere. Hey, don't even be embarrassed to pray out in public. We need to show people that we are praying people, that our prayers, God hears our prayers, and God will hear their prayers too if they get saved. Matthew 6, verses 6 through 9, we see this model prayer. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for if your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him, ask this manner, therefore, and pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We can always commune with God. Hey, God's everywhere. He's a spirit that fills the entire universe. God will hear you. How should we pray? This one might take a little bit of time, but we have gone through this before, but I think there's wisdom in this method of prayer. First, confess our sins. Sin hinders prayer. It does. God hates sin, and he wants his people not to deal with it. In Psalm 66:18, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Regarding iniquity in your heart means you have sin that you haven't confessed. Don't hold on to it. God wants it to take it away from us. God wants us to be free of that burden. Give it to him. Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Matthew 6:14 and 15, the Bible says, For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Ouch. Are we getting our sin right before God? Before we pray. Next, we can pray in the will of God. Lots of verses here. The Bible's full of these verses of how to pray to God, okay? God lines it out. If you just read this thing, God will line out life for you. Okay? He'll line out the way we should go. In 1 John 5:14, the Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that we, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Psalm 33:10-11. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Psalm 33. Oh, I just did that one twice. Haha. We can move on. Pray in faith. We talked about this the last time I got to preach on a Sunday morning. If we pray to God and we don't expect God to answer our prayer in some way according to His will, are we taking His name in vain? Are we taking God's name in vain by praying faithless prayers? We have to pray in faith. Matthew 21:22, the Bible says, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Remember, prayer is in the will of God. I don't think God's going to say no if we're praying in His will. I think God wants His will to be done. Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." On my Bible app, that's actually the verse of the day, and the NIV one, I don't remember it word by word, but that's completely different than what my Bible says. Completely. Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." How do we seek God? By reading His Word and by prayer. By two-way communication with God. And we end in praying in the name of Jesus. John 14:13-14, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it." And John 16:23, "And in that day ye shall ask Me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in My name, He will give it you." Now, we can get back to Jabez. We can see that prayer is an important part of the Christian life. I'll call it vital, okay? Prayer is vital. And that's why, again, I'm so glad that this year is a year of prayer for us, that God has put this on our pastor's heart for us to pray. We can see God's hand moving through the people in our church because they have gotten to prayer. Now, we have just modeled an effective way to pray. Now we'll take some of the requests of Jabez and make them ours. Okay, so first we see that Jabez called on the God of Israel. Jabez didn't call on Ashtoreth. Jabez didn't call on Moloch. He didn't call on the pagan gods that you know, the people of Israel, their roller coaster. "Oh, we believe in God. Oh, God saved us. Now we can chill out. Moloch, what's up? Oh, things are bad again. God, we need your help. Hey, Ashtoreth, what's up?" That's what they did. They kept going between God and idolatry. God, they went to God when times were bad. Then times got good. They went to idolatry. But Jabez here called on the God of Israel. That's our God. Now, throughout my studies in the Bible, I've seen the sin that God has judged, that He has shown us through much of Scripture, is idolatry. God hates idolatry. God hates that you put anything before Him. He's our life giver. He created us. He deserves all of it, not some other God. Maybe because as humans, it's easy for us to lose sight of the unseen. I would say that might be hard. I mean, when I first, really started learning about God, it was hard because I couldn't see Him. But now, through reading His Word, through prayer, I can see God. Not physically, of course, but I can see His hand. And I can see His hand at work. But it's hard for us to have faith in something that's unseen. We have to put all of our faith and trust in God. He is the one who can and will guide us in the path that He has set for us. In fact, He's the only one who can answer prayer. We saw that with Elijah there with the prophets of Baal. They were praying to Baal, cutting themselves, yelling out. And Elijah's just like, Hey, maybe he's asleep. He went to the bathroom. Where's your God? I forget how many words now. But do you know how many words Elijah had to pray to get an answer from God? I think it's like 63. Somewhere in the 60s. All those words that those prophets of Baal did, nothing. They probably said hundreds of words, cried out, did wild things. God is the only one that can answer prayer. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that we walk by faith and not by sight. And that throws people for a loop. How can you trust in something you haven't even seen before? Like I said, I've seen God's hand. If you just read this word and look back on your life, you'll see his hand in your life too. The world is looking for physical evidence of who we put our faith in. Now, let me tell you, there's a multitude, okay? There's no way that I'm standing on this solid ground and not floating. The law of gravity. There's no way that was set in motion by an explosion in space. There was no way that we are close enough to the sun to stay warm and far enough away not to be burnt alive. That didn't just happen. These laws of science were set in motion by an intelligent being who is God. We also need to realize that we need to bring every decision in our life to God first. Not second. Not when things get bad. We should always go to God first. He'll guide you. Hey, church, I struggle with it still. I get into myself, like, yeah, I can get this done, it's all right. And then things get bad, and I'm like, man, I should have asked God. I still struggle with it. But we have to purpose to do it more and more and more as we grow. Next, we see that Jabez prayed that God would bless him. All right, come on. From a raise of hands. Who doesn't want God's blessing? Anybody? Good. Whew. Who here is so well off that they don't need God to bless them? Amen. Good. Maybe Jabez was thinking about the promises that God gave to Abraham in Genesis 22. The Bible says that in blessing, I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Whatever the reason, we don't know, but Jabez wanted the blessings of God. I want the blessings of God. We too need to ask God to bless us, especially in this wicked day. A day where everything seems to be going against God. We need the blessings of God. Going back to our last point, we need to counsel God on every decision that we make so that we are in His will and He can bless us. You know, church, I don't know where I'd be today without the blessings of God. Most of you know my past, or at least a little bit of it. I got saved at 8. But didn't stay in church. I didn't stay long enough to get discipled. I didn't stay long enough to learn the importance of Bible reading and prayer and holy living. So I went out and I lived in the world. Alcohol, drugs, all sorts of things. All sorts of wickedness in my life. But one day, actually, I'll credit this one to God giving this to my wife. My wife said, we need to go to church. And I thought I was fine and I didn't need church. But because I love my wife, I said, okay, we'll go to church. And we came to this church. And I started learning from the Bible. And I started getting discipled like the way I should have when I was an 8-year-old kid. And God blessed me so much by cleaning my life up. And now, the blessing of God is I can stand here in this pulpit and tell you God's word. I'm blessed. Blessing is not only God giving us things, but it's also giving us mercy and grace. The Lord Jesus Christ is the biggest and best blessing that God has ever given. And He's given it to all. Each and every one of you in this room right now, God has given you the gift of Jesus Christ. And I pray that all of you have accepted that free gift that you have to do nothing for but believe. Did you notice there in Genesis 22 why God blessed Abraham? Because Abraham obeyed God's voice. That reminds me of a song. Who knows Patch Pirate obedience song? Obedience is the very best way. Show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands. Doing it happily. Action is the key. Do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way. Show that you believe. Who spells obedience by that song? O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. It's a good song. I like it. But obedience is how we get God's blessings. When we obey the word of God, God will bless us. When we don't obey the word of God, He'll send a trial to tell us, you should have obeyed me. I hope you learn from it. God will bless us when we are obedient to Him. We all want the blessings of God in our lives, right? We need to ask God to bless us and then follow Him obediently. Next, we see Jabez prayed that God would enlarge his coast. Now, I'm not sure. There's some scholars that will go here and there. But some think that Jabez was asking God to increase the borders of his land, to remove the Canaanite that was still left in the borders. To remove the wicked idolatry of the land. He could have wanted God to prosper in his business or his endeavors. Whatever the reason, he was relying on God to answer his prayer. And he believed that God would do it. We need our coasts enlarged as well. Not our country, but in the area of our heart, of our understanding of the Word of God, and the influence that we have on this world. We need to pray that God would enlarge our hearts so that we can have more of Him in us. That we would have a heart of Christ. You know, it saddens me to see what the world has come to. These people that are blind. It's not that, you know, we're this generation we have coming up or anything. That's not that they're Bible hardened. They're Bible ignorant. They haven't been taught about God. They don't know God. And that's sad. That saddens me. I want everyone to know about Christ and the salvation that He offers. It's easy for us to just look at the wickedness in this world and say, Lord, give it to them. Let them have it, Lord. Let them have their wickedness. But God says our heart needs to be like Christ. And we need to look at them and say, oh God, would you please give me a little bit more time to witness to this person? I know you want them to be in heaven someday, Father. Just give me a little bit more time. We should all be looking forward to the rapture. But we should also be praying that God would delay just a little longer. So we might see one more saved. That we might see a couple more saved. That we might see 10 more saved. We need to have a heart like Jesus Christ. Find those who are lost bring them to the sheepfold. We need to live spiritually. The heart of God is what we need in our day. I get that we're in a wicked and sinful day. And I don't agree with any bit of it that's going on out there. But I see people that need to be saved. They need to know God. They need Jesus Christ. He alone is the answer. Oh, that God would enlarge our hearts to love people like He does. We need to pray that God would enlarge our understanding of the Word of God. Guess what? When we pray it, He's not just going to give it to us. It takes work. It takes reading this book. And most of us are older in here. Yes, all the kids are gone. It takes studying this book. Don't just read it. Study it. Go through it. Actually dig deeply into a passage. There's lots of free stuff out there to help you study this book. Use it. Here's a big way for us to have help in our Bible reading and studying time. Are you praying before you read your Bible or study it that God would show you what He wants you to know at that particular reading? Are you praying that God, through the Holy Spirit, would show you what God wants you to know there? There's power in that. There's power in that. This is also backed up by some scriptures. James 1, 5 through 6, the Bible says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." In Psalms 25, verses 4 through 5, the Bible says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee I do wait all the day." I have 36 more references in Scripture that we should pray for wisdom and understanding. But I don't have time to go through them all. These should suffice. This is a funny one. After we pray to God to give us wisdom and understanding, we don't just get a download from heaven. Okay, got it. Download it. Sorry, my internet connection was a little slow. There's a person out there that says that they get daily downloads from God, from heaven. That's weird. Sorry, but that's just a little weird. God doesn't work that way. When we pray for patience, God's going to give us opportunities to be patient. When we pray for knowledge, God's going to give us opportunity to grow our knowledge. He's not just going to give it to us. He's going to make us work for it. But church, the importance of being in our Word daily. That's important. This book is a blueprint for our life. We shouldn't worry about philosophies of men, gurus, what have you. We don't need that. What we need is right here. This book is what we need. We need to pray that God will enlarge our influence on this world. It hurts to say this, okay? It hurts. We're losing ground. We're losing ground. The grand plan of the devil is succeeding. The plan to get a generation that doesn't know God has succeeded. Evolution, the Big Bang, God is no longer the authority. You know, I heard from many older people that back in the day, if a kid at school or, you know, you saw a kid being bad, they're like, hey, God's watching you. And they're like, oh, I got to straighten up. God's watching. Whoo. Okay. They would usually straighten their act up. If so, hey, God is watching you. But now you're like, God's watching. You're like, who's God? I'm my boss. Sorry. I don't know God. There ain't no supreme being up there. It all happened from an explosion in the sky. We all evolved from foam. They teach that in schools. That's fact. As fact. They teach it as fact. And that's why we have a generation that doesn't know God. But hey, there's a reprieve, church. God is still on the throne. God will still fight to see the people of this world saved. But it takes us opening our mouths. It takes us taking a stand against the devil. We need to speak up. It's time for the church to quit sitting silently by. It's time for the church to go out and tell people there is a God. And tell people that Jesus Christ died for souls. We got to stop standing idle. We got to go and fight. We can reach this world, but we need God's help. Are we asking when we go out soul winning, are we praying all the hours leading up to soul winning that God would give us somebody to go and talk to that needs to hear the gospel? Somebody that's heart has been softened. If not, why? Are we praying that God would give us the utterance to speak to them and to win them to Christ? If not, why? Those of you who don't go soul winning, are you praying between the hours of 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. on Saturday for the soul winners that they might have an opportunity to witness to somebody? If not, why? It's just 2 hours. Pray with us. Help us to reach this world. You know, this world is caught up in atheism and mystery religion. And we need God's help. We need to go to God and say, God, give us favor in the sight of the heathen. Oh, that we would pray for God to soften the people of this world's hearts. Jabez prayed that God's hand would be with him. We need God's hand with us. We can't do it without him. We need to be asking God to lead us in the old paths. Brother Combs preached a series on this, on the old paths. We'll just go through the verse here, Jeremiah 6. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. In the day and age of every church, seemingly wanting something new, we need to ask God for the old paths. The paths where dwell righteousness. We can be righteous if we're relying on God, if we're relying on Jesus Christ. We can't be righteous ourselves, but we can have the righteousness of Christ on us. We need to pray that God would protect us in this wicked and sin-infested world. We see in the life of Job that Satan came to God and God said, have you considered Job? He follows me. He's a mature and upright guy. Sacrifices me. Satan's like, yeah, God, because you protect him. You have this hedge. I can't get to him. Let me touch him. Just let me touch his life. We'll see how much he loves you. God said, okay. Now, I pray that God wouldn't take our hedge away. I don't want the hedge taken away, but I've seen a lot of times in my life where there's been a hole in the castle. Things have gotten through. We need to pray that God would keep that hedge around us. The devil wants you. He wants you. He wants to tear up your life and testimony to God. He knows that most of you in this room are saved. He can't do anything about that. But he wants to destroy your testimony. He wants the people of the world to look at you like, there's another Christian just living like us. Who needs God? I live like that daily. I don't need God. He wants you. Piggybacking off that point, Jabez prayed that God would keep him from evil. In Luke 22, Jesus tells Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter failed. Peter let Satan sift him as wheat, and he denied the Lord. But the Lord came back and restored Peter. And then Peter wrote this in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. These passages go together. Peter failed. And so after the Lord restored him, he's telling the people, look, the devil wants you. He wants you bad. Don't let him have a foothold. Don't let him. Pray that God will protect us from evil. Satan's grand plan has always been, number one, to take as many people to hell with him as he can. And number two, to destroy the testimony of the people of God. And he succeeded a lot. Our prayer needs to stay strong, that God would help us to stay strong and build up a giant shield of faith so that we can block the devil's advances. So all through those things we saw Jabez pray for. What was the end result of Jabez's prayer? And God granted him that which he requested. Prayer. A powerful tool in the life of a Christian. Are we using this tool? Or do we think that God grows weary of hearing our petitions? I can assure you, God cannot grow weary. He's all powerful. God desires communion with his children. If you're here in this room and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that you know you're saved, are you communicating with your Heavenly Father on a daily, constantly? Are you communicating with him? I lost the word. Are you communicating with God, though? He doesn't want it to be one-way communication. But hey, if you're in this room and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to open up the invitation here in a little bit. You can come down to this altar. We have lots of people that can talk to you and show you from the Bible how God can be your Heavenly Father. Hey, don't be embarrassed. If you come and say you're not saved, we're not going to laugh at you. We're not going to make fun of you. We're going to rejoice with you when you trust Him as your Savior. You'll become a brother or sister in Christ today, and we'll rejoice with you. It's not something that's embarrassing. It's something that I had to go through in my life as a kid. I wasn't embarrassed to know that God is going to send me to hell unless I trusted Christ. Not something to be embarrassed about. It's a great victory to be won. Don't be embarrassed. Child of God, is there some business you got to come and communicate with the Lord today? I'm going to open up the altar right now. Is there something you need to come and do business with God today? Come to the altar.